Out of school. I finally graduated in August 1965. Yes, August. I had to go to summer school to pass second semester freshman accounting. I hated accounting. Accounting to me was find the missing nickel bullshit. My attitude was, I don't care where the nickel is. Pay someone to find it. Better yet, I'll give you a nickel. Just stop asking me to find the one that's missing. In August 1965, the war in Southeast Asia was rolling. I had signed up for ROTC in 1961 when I was a freshman and Vietnam was just starting. I figured that if it grew, I'd rather go as an officer than as a grunt. I had tried grunt and didn't like it. Officer was better. Officer was like a member of the country club. Grunt was the guy who carried the bag. I knew I'd rather be the one telling the guy where to put the mortar than the guy carrying the mortar, so I signed up for Air Force ROTC. Then a friend told me that I could always go to Officer's Candidate School, OCS, once I had my college degree. Why should I do 4 years of this Mickey Mouse ROTC stuff when I could do 6 months of OCS later, and only if I had to? So I quit ROTC. That was a mistake. Big mistake. True, OCS was only 6 months, but there were 4 more months of intensive training before you got in. And those 10 months made ROTC look like a picnic. After graduation, I went on a couple of interviews, but couldn't get a job offer. I was so 1A, nobody would hire me. 1A was the draft board's term for being prime draft material. It was obvious the only job offer I was going to get was to serve my country. There was nothing wrong with me. I wasn't flat-footed, I had 20/20 vision, and I wasn't married. The draft was in full force, and this was after the lottery, so they were taking everybody. If you were 1A, you were going, unless you came up with something really tricky. Since I couldn't get a real job, I had to move back in with my parents and try to get a part-time job while I dealt with getting into OCS. I went down to the White Horse, a very nice dinner club where I had worked when I was in high school. I introduced myself to the owner, which was kind of audacious for a former busboy. But once again, I didn't know any better. I said to the owner, "Okay, here's my problem. I'm going to go into the military sooner or later, but in the meantime, I'd like a job. I don't want to be a busboy. I'm 22 years old and a college graduate, so I don't want to be a busboy. I really don't want to be a waiter either. I think I'd like to be a bartender." To my surprise, he said, "Okay." I promise you, there is another society out there in America that is asleep right now. This society is made up of the night people. It's people who work as waiters, waitresses, and all the other people that serve the entertainment and restaurant industry. They don't live in the daytime. They live at night. Within the night people's society, a bartender is very high on the totem pole. It's the same as being a doctor or a lawyer with day people. With night people, the head bartender at the right restaurant is right up there near the top. Within the night people's society, the head bartender at the Waldorf Astoria in New York is a dude. All the waitresses, waiters, and busboys think he's neat. The only guy cooler than the head bartender is the maitre d'. So if you're the number two bartender, you're not far off the top. This was like being a Charlie Robke among the night people. All of a sudden, I found myself at the ripe old age of 22, very high up in the night people's society. I had 30-year-old waitresses who thought I was cute, and when they found out that I was going away to war, oh!